Good morning, young disciples.
Good morning, sir.
Today is a blessed day. Another day for miracles. The start of week two, the end of week one, and one more evidence that God is love. So I want to thank you one more time for opening your hearts, for opening your lives to the Word of God this week. I want to thank you one more time for opening your friendship to me. It has been an honor to serve you, an honor to work for you, to pray for you this week. And as I said yesterday, your faces will go with me in my heart, and your names will remain in my prayers. Don't make yourself a stranger. I may or may not have the opportunity, have the privilege and joy of seeing many of you again on this earth. But if I don't, I want to have the assurance that I will see you in heaven. And in the meantime, if there is anything that I can do, any way that I can serve you, that I can wash your feet, anything that I can uplift to the throne of grace for you, I want to. Give me that privilege. I know that probably in your mind I meet thousands of people and I minister to thousands of people and I have thousands of friends and all of those things are true, but I do not forget because God didn't forget me. So if there's anything that I can ever do, please let me know. If you don't know how to get a hold of me, I'm pretty easy to find. Google my name and my blog and my email and my everything else shows up there, or add me on Google+ or friend me on Facebook or something. And if I can serve you, I want to. I have given you this week the very best, my very favorite treasures. And as we go from this place, I'm very cognizant of the fact that there is an enemy of your souls that is going to try to take you the moment you get home and undermine the good work that the Spirit of God has done here. Undermine the good work that your positive associations and friendships and relationships have done here. And it is my hope and it is my prayer that you will not allow him to do that. So I want to direct your mind very briefly this morning to a story that is old. It's about a father. A father who was a man just like many other men of his time, except that he was a wealthy man, a man of great means, a man of great influence, and he had a son whom he loved dearly, who ran away from home. But not ran away like you or I are thinking. He ran away, but first he took half of his father's wealth with him, and he spent it on riotous living. And then he came to his senses one day in a pig pen. Filthy, smelly, starving. And he thought, my father's slaves live better than this. Remember that. Remember the testimony of the prodigal son. The God you serve, his slaves live better than the richest men and women without him. And so he decided to set his course for home. And as he did so, thoughts are running through his mind. I am not worthy to receive this love. Therefore, let me get this speech prepared. A speech that will tell my father, I realize that I am nothing. I realize that I'm utterly worthless. I realize that I do not deserve to be called by your name. So make me a slave. Never again call me your son. All I want to do is work and live my days out laboring in this house. And when he got to his hometown, somebody came running to meet him. Who was that somebody?
His father.
Do you know what this one fact tells us about this father? The father that ran out, that immediately threw a robe, put a ring, and dismissed his excuses, dismissed his little speech of apology with the swipe of a hand and said, "You are my son." Do you realize what this implies about this father? How did he see his boy coming a great way off?
He was looking for him.
He was at the end of the driveway. He was filling the same spot he had filled every single day since his precious boy left to squander his life away. Do you know why? Because love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. This is the portrait of your God that I want you to take from this place. Or if you're staying here another week, keep this week and then take home with you, because there are all kinds of forces in the world, in your neighborhood, perhaps even in your home, that have told you something completely different about how God loves, or if God loves. Take it from Scripture. You are familiar with a passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Probably one of the most recognized and most famous passages in all of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is about love. It is defining. And as we have explored this week, God is love. Therefore, this chapter is a description of the God who loves you. Remember it. Review it over and over and over again, especially when you get home to dark reality and the same lies that filled your heart when you came here start crashing in again. Love suffers long. God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade himself, is not puffed up, does not behave himself unseemly or rudely, God seeks not his own. He is not provoked. He thinks no evil. He rejoices not in iniquity. He rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. God endures all things. God never fails. So there was a young man in a story that has become famous. Maybe you've heard it before. His name was Armand, and he lived in Armenia in the late 1990s. And he woke up on a particular day, much like every other day, ate his breakfast, got dressed, went to school. But partway through the morning on this particular day, there was a terrible earthquake that shook the entire country, a poor country, and the buildings were not well constructed, and half of the country ended up in rubble. 30,000 people died in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. Now this young boy, Armand, had a father who was at home at the time of this terrible earthquake. And when the earth shook and the buildings rocked and reeled, the father ran out into the front yard. And then, as soon as things had settled down, he set out to go to his son's school. And he had to dodge burst gas pipes and burst water pipes and downed power lines. But he finally got there, and yet when he got there, he saw the entire school building, 2 or 3 stories, all collapsed into the basement. And in shock and in grief, he stood and looked and tried to take in this reality that was his son's situation. But he remembered a promise he had made to his boy: no matter what happens, I will be there for you. And so he stopped and he looked and he tried to picture where in this rubble his son's classroom might be. And when he figured it out, he went around the backside, climbed up on this mountain of crumpled brick, crumpled stone and concrete and steel, and he started tearing one brick at a time. And then, as he was working, other parents started coming and wailing and weeping and saying, my children, where are my children? And he worked for probably an hour until his fingers were blistered. And then they were no longer blistered, they were bruised. And then after they were bruised, they were bloody. And he kept working. And parents started coming up to him and saying, it's no use, it's no use. You're desecrating a grave. Come down. And his answer to them was, are you going to help me? And he kept working 2 and 3 and 4 hours. And the fire department finally came. And they saw him up there and they said, it is well. We will take care of the rest. Come down. And his response to them was, are you going to help me? And he kept working. And an hour later, the police showed up and they said, you are an endangerment to society. You are endangering yourself. You're spilling blood all over the place. Come down. We will take care of the rest. And his answer to those men was, are you going to help me? And soon every news and media camera in the entire vicinity was trained on the man who became a symbol for a nation. And he dug for 4 hours, and for 6 hours, and for 8 hours, and for 12 hours, for 16 hours, and then night fell. But sleep would not come. And his back ached, and then it tingled, and then it went completely and totally numb. And he kept digging 16 hours, 20 hours, 24 hours, no food, no drink, no rest. 30 hours. And then 32, and then 36, and then 38. And as he dug through the rubble with raw hands, suddenly he heard a sound, a word, Daddy. And he screamed, Armand, are you alive? Are you okay? And his son answered him from the depths of a collapsed building. We're okay. 14 of us out of 33 were still here. And I told the boys not to worry. Because you said you'd always be there for me. And so the father reached down and he said, my son, come out. And his son said, no, 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 no. Take the other 13 first. Because I know you'll never leave me. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. My friends, it is your God that is digging from the top of your life all crashed in on your head. Your job is not to lose hope, to believe like Armand, my daddy said he would be there for me. The future belongs to those who believe in the power of God's dreams and keep believing, especially in dark corners. That is what I want to leave you with this week. Do not forget, and do not let anyone or anything convince you that God is anything less. You are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the moments that we have shared. For the time that we have sought you together. For the fact that we have found you together. For the fact that truth here reigns. And this morning sings in our hearts because we see. We see. I beg you, help us not forget. And for each one of my friends in this circle, may they be found faithful. And may we all go home with you. In the name of Jesus.